Dan Maselli, LPGA official. Welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing awesome. You're on the other side of the world right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Taiwan preparing for our next event. The girls are in Korea right now, and I'm the advance official for the FUBON LPGA Taiwan Championship, which starts next week. So I'm just getting the golf course prepared for the ladies when they get here next week.
Well, Dan, thank you first for joining us. I know being on the other side of the world and trying to coordinate this, but also for coming on and joining us. You were one of the advance officials the first year of the Symetra Classic here in Charlotte, and you and I got to meet. And when I saw you on TV managing that match and the aftermath of it, I said, we got to get Dan on the show. So first off, thank you for joining us. And second, in the aftermath of this, we continue to hear about the, whether this was conceded or not conceded. What was it like for you in the moment when this happened? As the official, the guy who's going to have to make the decision on it, did you know something crazy was about to happen?
Oh, you never know something like that's about to happen. In fact, when just before Allison had picked up the putt, I had thought that the putt was conceded, but I missed it because when Allison picked up the putt, it appeared to me that the putt had been conceded. So I was about to announce that the hole was halved to the crowd, and that's when Suzanne reacted and said that the putt had not been conceded.
Right. And now, in terms of the letter of the law and the way the rules state, that everybody was perfectly within their rights to say that putt was not conceded and it's the loss of the hole for the United States. Let's clear that up right off the top, because that's always the big thing is, according to the way the rules read and the way the rules were enacted by you and you did everything properly, the U.S. loses that hole, correct?
Yeah, Greeny, very well, you're an accomplished player. It's common to give putts early in a round and make players putt out later in the round. And Suzanne, I think, in her mind, she definitely wanted Allison to make that putt on the 17th hole, no other match on the golf course. That point could have a lot of bearing on the outcome of the competition. So I think that's what Suzanne's mindset was. And when Allison picked up the putt, she just reacted to it.
And I think what you were saying is, as you saw it play out, as Allison bent down to pick up her ball, I think you were reacting to the same thing we all saw on TV, which I was actually up watching it live, that the body language was such that it appeared that, as you look at how goals are conceded and you watch the body language of the group, it's like, oh, okay, so this is what just happened. And then you realize that it didn't. And then you realize that you, as an official, are going to have to step in. You're going to have to rule on this. And I guess fundamentally, a good official is invisible, like a good left tackle. You only hear about them when they have a penalty. So all of a sudden you were thrust into the spotlight. Did you know that in the moment?
Well, as soon as Suzanne reacted, I knew I had to deal with what had happened. So my first thing that I did was I went to Allison, and I said, Allison, what happened? Who gave you that putt? And she said she thought she heard something. So right after that, I started interviewing all the caddies and all the players to figure out if somebody had said something that would lead her to believe that she that the putt was good. And nobody uttered a sound that I had heard from the European side. And the most telling thing to me was when I asked Allison's partner, Brittany Lincecum, if she heard anything. And she was very close to Allison at that moment. And Brittany didn't hear anything. So when Brittany told me she didn't hear anything, based on all the facts I could gather at that time, I concluded that the putt was not conceded, and Allison lifted that ball without authority, which is a one-stroke penalty in golf. And, of course, the one-stroke penalty resulted in a loss of the hole for the American side.
All right, so beyond that, so once that hole is lost by the United States, Is there any recourse? Can the European team say, you know what, that putt's good, don't worry about it? I mean, what's the ruling that can go forth from there? Can they do anything? Obviously, they could have conceded the 18th hole and let the match be square. But is there any way to go back and say that we gave them that putt, or once that putt is picked up and they said that they didn't give it to them, that hole is over and anything else that happens has to happen on 18?
Well, yeah, once Suzanne made a claim, and she made a rightful claim, then you're pretty much the cat's out of the bag at that point. You have to rule on that situation. So that's what I did. Unfortunately, now what they could have done before the hole was over, they could have just said, no, we're not going to forget it. We have the hole. Let's move on. They could have done that. In match play, you know, the competitors can decide lots of things as long as they're not agreeing to waive the rules. But the competitors can decide lots of things among themselves, even if they're against the rules of golf. As long as they both agree and they're not agreeing to waive the rules, they can just go ahead and just do things. So, but you're right about the 18th hole, because the European captain, Karen Koch, came up to me and asked, during the play of the 18th hole, was there anything that they could do? And I told her at the time, I said, well, yeah, you can concede this hole to the American team at any time before we complete the hole. You can go ahead and concede this hole, and the match will end as a half. And she did consult with her co-captains, and she consulted with the players. But we ended up playing that hole out, and once that hole was finished, then there's no recourse at all.
And so, Dan, now when you were investigating it in the immediate aftermath, had you found anyone who said, yeah, I think I might have heard something. It could have been a spectator, could have been a caddy, could have been a cat. I think I heard something as well. Then the recourse is what, to replay it, play the putt as close to where we thought it was? Or what are the options then?
Yeah, exactly. If a caddy had said, okay, that's good, we're moving on. If the caddy even had never even acknowledged that the putt was good, but even said something that Allison could have interpreted as the putt being conceded, there's a decision in the Rules of Golf decisions book that says if something is said that the player misinterprets as a concession, then in equity, she's allowed to replace that ball and go ahead and putt out. We had that situation in Colorado 2 years ago at a Solheim Cup where a caddy had blurted out, that's good. They were trying to keep a player on the American side from showing her partner the line of putt. So the caddy just reacted and just said, that putt's good, which a caddy's not allowed to do. Mm. But because of that, and the player picked up the ball, there was no recourse, there was no penalty to that player because she was acting on something that was said by the other team. So there is that option, but in my investigation, I heard nothing that I could hang my hat on to say, okay, that's what caused Allison's confusion.
All right, so as an impartial observer to, you know, other than enforcing the rules, but as an impartial observer, did that moment change the whole atmosphere of that event?
Well, you're asking me now to speculate on emotion and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. I really don't know what happened in the players' locker room afterwards, or how the players reacted to it. You know, from my perspective, I didn't feel any big change or anything. Remembering that a referee, you know, we really are impartial. You know, all these players play on the LPGA Tour, aside from a couple that play on the Ladies European Tour. So I'm very familiar and in most cases friendly with all the players. So I really do have an impartiality when it comes to officiating or refereeing matches of these kinds. And I didn't feel anything. I know there's been a lot of talk about that fueled the Americans for their comeback on, you know, later that day. But I didn't feel that. So, you know, that's probably a question more for the players than for me.
No, I was just curious if there was anything that jumped out at you that might have given you a sense that something kind of changed in the way players were acting towards each other or anything along those lines. But that's fine.
Yeah, no, Greeny, I'm just fearful at that moment that you don't want to make a mistake on national television, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So that you have that kind of thing hanging over your head. No, I'm just grateful that it was an easy call for me. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, we're pleased to be joined this morning by Dan Miceli, LPGA official and the man on the case at the Solheim Cup for the Pedersen Lee controversy. And Dan, switching gears, but sort of staying with the theme that you're talking about. You know, we all love golf because it is. We all love golf because it is essentially self-governed, and we watch the commercials for the first tee, and you learn about character, and you're your own referee. Why do you have a job, Dan? Why do you need to be out there? If this is self-governing, why aren't you unemployed?
That's a really good question, and you know, oftentimes during LPGA events, people will walk by you and. You're sitting on the side of a fairway and it says rules on the front and they'll say, you know, you're doing a pretty good job. You just sit there and don't do anything. And most of the players know most of the rules, okay? But thank God they don't know them all because it does give me a job. And it's not the easy rulings, you know, taking relief out of a water hazard or taking relief from a cart path. They all can handle those pretty good. It's when something goofy happens, that's when they call us in to just make sure that they're doing things correct. As you well know, as everyone has seen, in history, players have lost, have been disqualified, have lost matches, lost competitions because of a rules violation. And nowadays, with everything so scrutinized, they just want to make sure they're doing things correctly. So, and thank God, because it does give me a job, which I enjoy very much. So So I'm grateful for the fact that they don't know all the rules as well as the officials do.
Well, Dan, when you face one of those goofy situations, it's kind of a gray area deal. Are you encouraged, discouraged? Is it okay for you to bring in other officials to help you make a ruling if it seems like there's a goofy situation?
Oh yeah, no. As a team, we often will discuss situations that are a little bit unique. Fortunately, the USGA and the RNA print that decision on the rules of golf book, which basically covers all the principles of the rules. So, yeah, you have the rule. And it's kind of like law. You have the law, but then you have all the precedents based on the statutes of law. So in golf, you have the rule, and then you have all the decisions based on those rules that the USGA and RNA have ruled on already. And that helps the person really understand the principles of rules so that they can apply them when they're playing golf. And I would encourage everybody to have a decision book and read it, because you really learn a lot about the rules of golf when you do that.
Well, and I think some of the confusion for the recreational golfer or even the golf enthusiast who watches just on TV is the difference, the discrepancy between a rule and etiquette. There's, you know, not every part of golf etiquette is covered in the rules, and not every rule will cover etiquette. And, you know, I have one that I want to ask you about. I was taught as a caddy to never, ever, ever lay down or kneel on the green surface. I was told when I was 12 and started caddying that was absolutely the worst thing I could do. Now, I was a bigger kid shopping in the Husky section at Sears.
That's an understatement.
So there's, you know, there's a possibility this was specifically for me and the dents I would leave if I'd kneeled on the green. But is that indeed is it completely legal for a caddy to just lay down all over the green, kneel down? Is that within the rules of golf and more a question of etiquette?
Yeah, certainly not a rule against the rules of golf. You won't be caddying very long at any golf club in the country If you're laying down on the green, or kneeling is not so bad, but if you're laying down on the green, I don't see many caddy masters holding on to that caddy or many players enjoying that caddy for their round. So, it is something that's frowned upon. So, yeah, most caddies don't do that kind of have those kind of activities when they're playing when they're caddying. In fact, one of the caddy regulations that the LPGA Tour has is during a practice day, or if the player is practicing on the putting green, we don't allow them to sit on the ground or anything like that. It's just something that's just not thought of very very positively.
If a player in the group, however, has a question about the etiquette of someone along with the other player, an opponent or the caddy or whatever, like let's say this person's kneeling and laying all over the green, would they actually go to you and ask you to step in, or do they have to self-govern?
No, they would probably – it depends on the player, actually. Some players will take it upon themselves to tell the person to stop doing that. Other players will get us involved because what we do – Unfortunately, not too much, but from time to time, the LPGA has policies, procedures, and regulations, and certain regulations are finable offenses. So the player could be fined in some cases for activities of the caddy that are not within our regulations. So, yeah, every once in a while, we do have to step in to disputes between players and caddies and such when one of those regulations or policies is violated.
All right, Dan, we got 30 seconds. I'm going to give you a tough question here.
And 30 seconds.
Yep, and 30 seconds. It's going to be quick. So if I gave you the option of changing the rule to be able to tamp down spike marks on the green or get relief from a divot in the fairway, which of those two rules being changed would make golf a better game?
Neither. the spike mark is you'd have people tapping down their entire line from the ball to the hole mm-hmm. on every putt. And that would be a pace of play nightmare. The divot in the fairway, the problem there is when is a divot not a divot anymore?
Mm-hmm.
When it's 80% covered up, when it's 90% covered up, it's a very difficult thing to there's no black and white there.
Right.
So although, yeah, divots in a fairway, when a ball rolls into a divot, it's a unfavorable lie. It's a very hard thing to have a black and white. Yes, it's a divot. No longer is it a divot. So, unfortunately, I have to give you a neither on that one.
All right, fair enough. Thanks a lot, Dan. We appreciate you hopping on with us today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. That's LPGA rules official Dan Maselli.